From John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that she had said these things to, that he had said these things to her. And from Revelation chapter 21 and 22. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and the first things have passed away.' Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there any more, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." The word of the Lord.
When I wake up in the morning, I never know what kind of world I'm going to face. Sometimes it's exactly what I think is going to be there. Like this morning, opened the bedroom door. I thought, okay, the world is probably going to include, first thing, the cat right there in the hallway, wanting me to do something. It's probably going to be quiet throughout the rest of the house. I have two daughters, a son-in-law, a grandson there this weekend, and I thought they would probably all be asleep, and as far as I know, that they were. So far, the world is going like I thought it would go. What I didn't expect was for the world to include a thunderstorm and lightning and pouring down rain. I didn't expect that world when I first got up. I forgot to check the weather report last night. Also, I noticed that Jay's car windows got left down last night. And so I thought, okay, I don't want to face that world. So I got a towel and got out there real quick and dried everything off and made sure I got the windows put up before it rained anymore. Sometimes we think it's going to be a really great world. We get up and we go out there and we think it's going to be a really great world. And then something happens and it's as though the world changes on us. And it's a different world than we thought. This last February, Jay and I were out in Hawaii, and we went to Pearl Harbor and heard that story again It was December 7th, 1941. It was a Sunday morning, and it was quiet, and it was a peaceful, it was Hawaii, and it was beautiful weather and a beautiful day. And then hundreds of planes flew overhead and killed thousands of people there at the in Pearl Harbor. And suddenly, the world everybody thought they were going to have on December 7th, 1941, it wasn't that world anymore. Suddenly, we're entering a different world. And sometimes that happens. Those of us who were around on September 11th, 2001, it was a beautiful day all through the East Coast, all the way through the Midwest. It was a late summer day and sunshiny. And we thought all was fine with the world, didn't we? But then it turned out, as we saw those planes plunging in the buildings, it turned out that we had suddenly entered a different world than the one we thought we were going to move into that day. And that happens. Sometimes it's something personal. And we start out in one world, and we end up in another world. And it can go either way. Sometimes we think, another day, and then something good happens to us. Or we meet somebody that's really special, or a phone call comes and it's good news, or a job we've been trying to get for a long time, it finally comes through and we get hired, or finally the baby is finally here and ready to be delivered, we never know, do we, when the world is going to shift on us. And there are all sorts of worlds, and sometimes we can go through multiple worlds in just one day. And that's what I'd like for us to consider this morning. I'd like to consider, what does a resurrection world look like? We've talked about, we know what a 9/11 world looks like, or we know what a Pearl Harbor Day world looks like. What does a resurrection world look like? And this was something that was experienced in the scriptures that Jordan shared with us this morning. The disciples woke up that day, the followers of Jesus, not just the 12 disciples, but Jesus had many disciples, and they woke up that day thinking, this is a pretty rotten world. Remember the children's skit that we did? They woke up that day thinking, this is a horrible world we live in. This is a world where people are arrested and they're murdered it's a travesty of justice. And so, when the disciples of Jesus woke up that Sunday morning, they thought they were waking up to a terrible world. And Mary was at the tomb. She went out there. She went out there to weep, to mourn, because her friend and her master Jesus had been killed just hours earlier. She woke up into what she thought was a dark world that day. And when she got to the tomb, it seemed as though the world had gotten even worse for her, because she looked inside the tomb, the stone had been rolled away to provide some dignity. I mean, if you're going to have your corpse stuck in a cave somewhere, wouldn't it at least be dignified to put a stone in front of it so you don't have animals walking in and so you don't have people walking by gawking at you? And she gets to the garden tomb that morning, and what started out as a bad day looks like it's going to get even worse because the stone has been rolled away. And she looks inside and the body is missing. So her bad day is getting even worse. The indignity of all of this, the vandalism, the insult of all of this. And so she goes and she runs into the town, and she wakes up Jesus' disciples, Peter and the beloved disciple. She wakes them up. They go out there. They check it out. They actually go inside the tomb. Sure enough, there's no body there, and they go back home. A lot of good they are. You ever notice that when you're in a really bad world, the very people you need to be with you, a lot of help they are, right? That's what happens when you're in one of those bad worlds. And then Mary's standing there, and she's weeping, because this day is a catastrophe. And as she weeps, somebody comes up to her and starts to talk to her, and she thinks it's the gardener. So here she thinks, You see, at first she doesn't know that suddenly she's in a different world. She does not realize that she is suddenly in a resurrection world. But she is. And who she thinks is the gardener talks to her back and forth, and suddenly she realizes that it's Jesus. And she realizes that the sadness and the depression and the helplessness and the powerlessness that she felt in that world that was heavy upon her when she woke up that morning, she realizes it's a different world. She's in a resurrection world. Sometimes we wake up and we think we're in a different world. And so it's starting to dawn on her. She's in a different world. Now, one of my favorite movies is The Wizard of Oz. Anybody else like that movie here? Wizard of Oz, what happens to Dorothy? She flies through the air, she and her dog Toto in their house, and they fly through the air and they finally land, and she realizes she is not in Kansas anymore once she walks out of her house. She's in a different world. It's a strange world. It's a world that has different rules. The people, the adults, are only 2.5 feet tall. And there's a yellow brick road that goes to this weird little guy who stands behind a curtain, and he's called the Wizard of Oz, and he somehow manages to control the world. And there are scarecrows who talk, and tin men, and lions have no courage, and what a different world she's in. And she says, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. Good witches and bad witches, a different world. Sometimes it takes some adjust. It took her quite a while to adjust to this new world, didn't it? In fact, I'm not sure she ever adjusted to that new world. And that's what happens to us. We find ourselves sometimes tossed from one world into the other. Now, which is the real world? Is the real world the world where planes crash into buildings? Is the real world the world where people die, where people get sick, where people get cancer, where people get divorced? Is the real world a world where we're afraid of different countries in the world because they're building missiles with nuclear warheads that they're hoping can reach our shores soon? Is the real world a world where white and black people are at odds with each other? Is the real world a world where people can barely have a civil conversation about politics or religion anymore? Is that the real world? Or is the real world the resurrection world? Which is real? How's Mary to figure out which is the real world? Well, someday, the Bible tells us, someday there's only going to be one world. And that world is going to be the resurrection world. It's going to be a world, Jordan read us the scripture, it's going to be a world where there are no more tears. There will be no more pain, no more people being cruel to each other. No more people doing the domination thing over one another. A world where there's going to be no more death. Someday that world is coming, and that's going to be what's left. But in the meantime, you see, we live in multiple worlds. We never know, do we? All those worlds are real. And sometimes our lives become so difficult that we forget the resurrection world is just as real as the world where planes fly into buildings. It's just as real. If we stop and think about it, the joys that we have are genuine, real joys. The love that we experience, the praises that we experience, the music that we enjoy, the people that we love, that's the real world. This is the resurrection world. The fact is we go from world to world. And as long as things are as they are now, for the foreseeable future, we find ourselves confronted with multiple worlds. The thing that we tend to forget is the resurrection world is also always there. The book of Revelation, I know a lot of people don't like Revelation. I know a lot of people think the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, I know people often think it's scary. I like that book. But maybe it's because of the perspective that I have when I read the book. For me, the book of Revelation is not an answer book telling us what's going to happen in the future. A lot of people say, I wonder what's Wonder what's happening. Wonder what's going to happen in the future. I think I'll read the book of Revelation and get the prophecy out of it, as in get the prediction out of it. And that's not at all how I read Revelation. Revelation to me is a book that takes everything we know, the world as we know it, the thoughts that we have, our know-it-allness, we can be know-it-alls, and just sort of tears all that up, scatters it all. Let me explain why that's good. Last night, Mindy and I were out taking a walk after the Easter vigil, and the first thing that we noticed when we stepped out of the house was just the beauty of the stars. I guess that's why I didn't put Jay's windows up in her car. It's just, you know, rain was the furthest thing from my idea. And we noticed the beauty of the stars, and we started looking at the stars, but then we had a problem. And the problem was, you see what happened all day yesterday and all day Friday? All the trees in the neighborhood were going like this. And here we are looking up to try to see the stars, but the trees are in the way because they're starting to leaf and they're starting to blossom. And we couldn't see the star world because we were too absorbed in the tree world. Sometimes we get so absorbed in one world we can't see another world that's there, it's real, it's critical to us, we just can't see it. Because all we can see is the world that's sort of growing right before our eyes at the moment. And so, here's what the book of Revelation does. The book of Revelation is not a book it's not springtime in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is fall. Because what happens in the fall? The leaves fall off the trees. And what do you see when the leaves fall off the trees? You see the stars again. Sometimes you see those big squirrel nests that are up there. You see all sorts of things. You can see what your neighbors are doing once the leaves fall off the trees. You can see everything when the leaves fall off the trees. Because as the world deconstructs, we're able to see other things that have always been real that we just couldn't see before. And that's what the book of Revelation does. Think about the book of Revelation. It's a book where everything is deconstructed. Dragons and monsters fly through the sky and knock everything out. Worlds are destroyed. The sun goes black. The stars fall out of the sky. The moon turns to blood. Nations crumble. And what we're left with, by the time the book of Revelation does what it does, we're left with the revelation of worlds we don't often notice. On Easter Day, is a time to celebrate that there is a resurrection world that we often don't see because we're caught up in griping about the world we're stuck in at the moment. We're often caught up in the pain of the world that seems to be right in front of us. It can be a pain caused by health problems. It can be a pain caused by death. It can be a pain caused by anxieties and fears. We get so absorbed in that world that's hitting us day after day that we're not able to see that there's a resurrection world just as real, just as close, just as powerful for us as well. And so Jordan reads for us about the resurrection world, where there's no more injustice, and there is no more pain, and death is no more, and darkness does not prevail, but only the light of God. I want to finish my sermon this morning with a song for you about different worlds. The first verse of the song is about a world where children are playing and having a good time. The second verse of the song is about a world where everything goes dark and death seems to prevail and rule everything. And then the third verse is a different kind of a world. It's the resurrection world. Song is the holy city.
Night I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem, beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
gates were open wide, and all who